Great to have you along on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You may be looking forward to the day when you finish your working life and you settle into retirement, or maybe you like your work so much you're going to continue to work for as long as possible. In any case, I think it's safe to say that we all want to be sure to have the funds to do what we want, when we want, in our later years. And when it comes to balancing that desire with helping kids through college, I know it can feel like competing responsibilities. Larry Mueller here. So great to have you along today on the Ideas Network as we visit with our old friend Frank Armstrong, certified financial planner, founder and president of Investor Solutions, Inc., the author of The Informed Investor and co-author of Save Your Retirement. Frank, thanks for joining us today.
Always a pleasure, Larry.
Well, it's great to have you with us, and I want to give our listeners a chance to join in. Do you feel confident with your retirement savings plan? Do you have a plan for retirement? What about your kids' college or beyond high school? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. Graduation, of course, high school and college are right around the corner, really. I'm getting into the end of the semester projects with my students. I know that here at the university. I know it's a source of stress for parents because they need to save for college, but they also have their own retirement to think about. And you have some great ideas for being able to do both.
Well, Larry, one of my favorites is the Roth IRA. A family can contribute $5,500 per working adult, or actually per adult. So you could a couple could contribute $11,000 per year. But let's just use one person making an IRA when a child is born, and they contribute $5,500 for 18 years until the child's ready to go to college. So they put in $99,000. Good. Now, but if we just guess that the account made 8% net return over that period of time, then the account has grown to $205,000. And so if they were to withdraw their $99,000 contribution, it would be totally tax-free. And that goes a long way towards paying for a little college. But there's still a balance of $106,000. $976 and some change in the account under our assumptions. So let's suppose you started this program when the child was born and you were age 25. Now you're 43. But if you just left that $106,000 alone, it would grow to, at age 65, $581,000 and change.
Yeah.
And if you waited until you were 70 and you got the same 8% net, it would grow to $854,000 and change. Now, for most of us, those are not trivial amounts, and it would generate a substantial amount of tax-free income for you for the rest of your life. So it's a combination savings plan. Now, of course, you know, if you don't have a child going to college or if the child gets a scholarship, you can use that money for a down payment of the house, or you can buy a boat or whatever. You can always get your contributions out tax-free from that Roth IRA.
Yeah.
Now, some people may not have an income that allows them to make a Roth IRA contribution, but we have a workaround for that. Everybody, Bill Gates included, can do a regular IRA contribution that's non-deductible. And then the very next day, they can change it into a Roth IRA. We call that a backdoor Roth IRA. And so you could do it no matter what your income is.
I didn't realize that you'd be able to do that if you were at a certain high income level. I didn't think you were able to use a Roth IRA, but that's not the case.
Well, you can do a non-deductible IRA and then turn it the next minute into a Roth. And, of course, it would be tax-free, assuming that there had been no change in the value overnight.
Okay. So I'm trying to think now. The traditional IRAs, are different, obviously, from the Roth IRAs in that the amount put in is taxed.
The amount that you put into a traditional IRA is tax exempt or tax deductible. So if you make $50,000 and you put your $5,000 in, you only pay taxes that year on $45,000. But when you take the money out, it's fully taxable.
Yeah.
The contributions and the growth are fully taxable. The Roth, on the other hand, or if you do the non-deductible IRA and then turn it into a Roth, which current tax law allows, then you don't get a deduction for the money. But in fact, when you take it out, presuming you're at least 59 and a half and it's been in there for 5 years, it's totally tax-free. And you can always take out your contributions tax-free.
Hmm. Do you have to make any intention or, you know, that you're going to take money out or?
No, you just call your broker and tell them, in this case, you might want my $99,000 out.
Oh, man.
Or your advisor, whatever. Or, you know, if you do it directly with Vanguard, you call them. And they'll account for the federal government, but it's a tax-free transfer back out to you.
What if a listener didn't start saving through a Roth when the kids were young? Are there any good short-term options?
Well, you know, it depends on how late you wait. If you wait until he's 18, then, you know, you've got a serious problem. But as with any savings or investment plan, the earlier you start, the better it is. Obviously, there are all kinds of options for children to go to college, starting with scholarships and financial aid of one kind or another and progressing to loans. You know, there's all kinds of articles about the decreasing value of college and the increasing cost of student loans. But those, I think, are poorly designed because if you look at the earnings potential of a college graduate relative to a high school graduate, for instance, it's huge, even after you pay back the loan. And it's a shame that kids have to graduate with loans. In my day, that was almost unheard of. One way or another, I was able to work my way through college and graduated without one single penny of debt. But today that's not possible. Even so, colleges are, generally speaking, across the wide scope of graduates, a great, great investment.
We have callers online. You can join in with your investment questions at 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org, or you can post on our Facebook page at The Larry Miller Show. We'd love to hear from you. And Aaron in Milwaukee up first. Aaron, hi. Thank you for calling.
Hi. How are you guys?
Great. Appreciate the call. What's on your mind?
I am 25 years old, and I maxed out my wife's Roth IRA and my Roth IRA, and I was wondering what you would recommend next for a young person already looking for retirement ahead because of listening to this great show and hearing all about other people's pitfalls. So I'll take my answer off the air, and thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, you know, presuming you don't have access to a plan at work, like a 401k, the next best thing is to invest in a mutual fund for growth that's going to throw off very little in the way of income or capital gains as long as you don't mess with it and trade it around too much. It's a very tax-efficient way to save, and when the money does come out, the profits are taxed at capital gains rates, which are preferable, and you determine the date that you pay those capital gains so that you can take those gains in low-income years after you retire. There will be some small amount of income thrown off, but let's suppose you use a fund like the S&P 500 or a total U.S. fund. The dividends will be reasonably small and the tax drag reasonably small. It's very tax efficient. I hope that addresses the question.
Yeah, that's a good situation to be in, to have that kind of mindset.
Absolutely, and you know, I wish that more people did think ahead and start to save early, because the longer you have to even modest amounts of savings grow to huge amounts over time.
Yeah. Frank Armstrong, our guest, do you have a question for him? I hope you'll join in. Do you have a plan to save for retirement? How are you following it? What worries do you have or issues? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. We'd love to hear from you. Let's talk a little bit about the international situation. The dollar is very strong right now, which can be a liability in some ways in the international investment arena. What do you tell your clients about that, Frank?
Well, in most years, investing internationally, the big risk is what happens to the local market. And the smaller risk, almost insubstantial, is the currency exposure. And last year that was reversed. There were a lot of things that went on around the world, between the Russian invasion in Crimea, the Eurozone problem with Greece, and the stagnation of many of those economies, the Ebola virus, the Chinese threatening in the Pacific area, and the virtual collapse of oil prices. So there were huge cash flows into America. And that was further complicated by the European Union's announcement that they were going to start their own little version of quantitative easing, which means interest rates are going to come down there. And so while our Fed was hinting that we were going to increase interest rates, everybody said, oh, let's jump on that bandwagon. So the dollar appreciated a huge amount. And if your dollar appreciates and the local market doesn't do anything, when you convert the foreign holdings back into dollars, you have a net loss. Well, actually, the foreign markets did quite well, but the dollar did so strongly appreciate that it swamped the local market effects. So last year was kind of a distressing year for people who invested outside of the United States, and they need to keep a long-term horizon, because we can easily demonstrate that foreign investing over time adds a considerable amount of value, both in terms of reducing risk and increasing rates of return. But that doesn't happen every year. Those premiums that for foreign investing and come and go at times of their own choosing, not ours. And so you have to understand that that's likely to happen. But there's been a dramatic turnaround since the first of the year, where the S&P was virtually flat in the first quarter, and every single developed market index that was foreign swamped our returns, even though the dollar continued to appreciate. The foreign market returns were so good that they were strongly positive for us in the first quarter. It works itself out over the long term, but you know, if you're looking at your advisor or your broker and saying, "What have you done for me recently, and why am I in these foreign investments?" then it's a conversation that we have from time to time with clients.
Frank Armstrong, our guest today, certified financial planner, founder and president of Investor Solutions Inc. His great website, Investor Solutions Inc. And I hope you'll join in with your questions. We have callers online, but no line open for you at 1-800-642-1234. I'm Larry Mueller. Judith Sears-Poisson, our producer on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hope you'll stay tuned, because coming up at 11:45 today, UW Varsity Band Director Mike LaCrone joins us from the road. He and the band are traveling with the UW Badgers men's basketball team for the Final Four. That'll be at 11:45. We'll talk about the Final Four, but we'll also talk about the band concert that's coming up very soon. And it is a fantastic concert every year. And so I'm looking forward to talking with Mike about that. But also, right now, visiting about your retirement with Frank Armstrong, certified financial planner, founder and president of Investor Solutions, Inc., And Frank, we have Katie from New Berlin online with a question. Hi, Katie. Thank you for joining us.
Hi, Larry. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Frank. I am married to a doctor who is just starting out in his career, and we have a lot of med school loans, and we're getting to ready to buy our first home here in the next couple weeks. And just wondering how we can balance all of those kind of competing priorities to put our money places we need to, and then also think about our long-term retirement and savings for our children's educational future as well.
Well, I can't, you know, I don't know enough about your situation, Katie, to give you specific advice. I think you need to start with some kind of a budget, to see what kind of a house you can afford and where you might cut expenses so that you can save for both college education for your kids and for repay any loans that you've got left over from medical school. And then look at what your objectives are relative to your current lifestyle. And sometimes we get conflicting comments from clients about, well, we need to live now, but we're really concerned about later. And, of course, later is always easier to put off until it happens to you. It happens to all of us. But I think you got to start with a budget and see if you can carve out some room in your budget to save first so that at the end of the month, instead of waiting for something to be left over or waiting to see if something is left over, you have your savings already into the some savings vehicle that will grow for your long term benefit.
Yeah, so you can, as you're suggesting, put having something comes out of the check somehow that you don't even see, and it's in a savings plan somewhere, and you work around it as opposed to waiting to see if there's anything at the end.
People who save first always come out better than people who try and save at the end of the month, because there's always another iPad, there's always another large screen TV, there's always some other gadget out there. And, you know, you're talking to a 70-year-old infant here, and I want everything yesterday. And the only way I could make myself save was to take it out before it went through my grubby little hands.
That was great advice. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. Oh, Frank, I know exactly what you mean.
I mean, I want it yesterday. I can't wait for Amazon to deliver it today. I want it yesterday.
Oh, boy. Chris in Montford, it's your turn. Hi, Chris.
Hi, how you doing?
Great.
Good. I've got a 401k through my employer currently, and wondering about, should I be looking at a Roth IRA or stick with a 401k? And then also, I invest with a life insurance plan. Is that a good way to go, or should I be looking at other ways?
Okay, let's talk about the life insurance plan first. We don't see that as a great way to invest because the internal costs are so high. If I needed life insurance, and I did for a long period of time until my financial resources were enough, I would buy term, and I would invest the difference into something that's going to grow faster than the life insurance policy. As far as the 401k versus a Roth IRA, the a traditional 401k is a deductible expense for you, and the Roth is non-deductible but tax-free later. You also have to look at the quality of your plan. Many plans are still very expensive relative to what you could get if you went to Vanguard, for instance, and opened up either a regular or Roth IRA. And that drag is considerable over time. So the standard default advice is to deposit whatever it takes to get the match in your 401k and then potentially look at the IRA. But again, that's a knee-jerk reaction. You need to look at the quality of your 401k. And if it's good, then it's a great place to invest.
Yeah.
And potentially you could do a Roth contribution to your 401k if it's been updated. That's been available for years, but many firms still don't have it.
Okay.
All right. Good luck, Chris. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. Jim in Wisconsin Rapids, it is your turn. Hi, Jim.
Hi, how are you doing?
Great.
Hey, I'm 68 and thinking about retiring here pretty soon, but I have a taxable account. I have cash, but I have like equal amounts in my Roth and my IRA. I was thinking that I would double up my required minimum distributions out of my IRA and convert that to a Roth before I tap anything else. Would that be the right order of tapping, or shall I tap cash or taxable account first?
I think if you want to let your non-taxable contributions grow as long as possible. You know, all other things being equal, you would do the taxable, the cash, and then the taxable, and then the taxable, the traditional 401k, and then the very last thing you would want to tap into is the Roth, because the Roth doesn't require you to make any distributions ever, and you can pass it on if you don't spend it. You can pass it on to your heirs totally income tax-free for the rest of their lives.
Well, that's kind of what I was thinking about the IRA, to pull that out a little faster to try to stay under 15%, but then convert the difference that I need into a Roth. But that's, you don't think that's the right way to go on it.
Well, if you can convert at a very, very low tax bracket, that's a good thing. But you also have to look at whether it's more important for yourself not to run out of money while you're retired, and how important it is to pass it on to future generations. Because if you got plenty of money, then it's a great tax favored way to pass it on. If you're going to have to consume it during your lifetime, then the conversion may or may not work as well for you, because you will pay the taxes up front. And when you take the money out, you'll be in the same position probably as you would have if you'd kept the money in the traditional, unless your tax bracket changes a lot. The great rule of thumb to remember is if your tax bracket's going to be lower later than it is today, then you want to keep the money in a traditional IRA. If it's going to be higher later, then you want to have the more money in your Roth, because the value of the tax-free contributions, or the tax-free distributions, goes up for you.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Makes good sense. Well, good luck, Jim. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate it. We have another Jim, this one in Wanakee. Hi, thank you for calling.
Yeah, good morning.
Morning.
Yeah, I'm 65, and I've got a deferred comp, which is similar to the 401k. I'm going to have to start withdrawing it in about 5 years anyway. I'm still working, so I was wondering if it might be smarter for me to start withdrawing out of that and putting it into a Roth IRA while I'm still paying probably at the higher tax rate anyway, and then hopefully avoid some of the penalty when I start drawing Social Security, because that'll be taxed if I'm getting too much income like that.
The Social Security tax issue kind of goes away if you're after your normal retirement date. It doesn't penalize you, I believe. I wouldn't start withdrawing it just willy-nilly without taking a very close look at what your projected tax status is going to be at each stage along the way, because you want to keep your tax-deferred savings or your tax-free savings growing as long as possible to get the maximum benefit out of it. But you know, it's something you'd have to program out in terms of what your expected cash flows are going to be in your tax bracket before you could generate a pretty reasonable solution for yourself.
Yeah, that'd be something. If it was me, given my own proclivities, I would want to be probably sitting down with an advisor on that one. You know, and just talking with a professional about, oh, here are my needs, and here's what I've got. What do you think? Kind of thing.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. You can develop a budget on your own and some cash flows, and then take a look at the likely outcome and the tax scenarios with a professional, and develop a strategy that makes sense.
it's hard to do that on the radio one-on-one without a tremendous pile of data about your unique situation. So, you know, it's hard to give just a an everyman recommendation.
Thanks again, Jim. Scott in Guyard, Iowa, your turn. Thank you for calling.
Hi, guys. I appreciate you taking my call.
Sure.
Hey, my question is kind of, I guess, basically what I have going is I've got a few different retirement accounts and 529 accounts set up for college savings / retirement from basically times in my life when I've had a chance to be able to save money. I don't have a really high income year to year. And I don't feel like as life gets busy, I necessarily do the best job of managing them. And I also have a little bit of this extra money that I would like to save at this point as well. I'm wondering if I'm better off to roll all of those not the 529 somewhat manages itself, but the retirement accounts together. They're through different companies, like one's through Vanguard, T. Rowe Price. I was thinking about starting another one. If I should combine those all in one Roth IRA, or if I'm actually having that diversity is helping me out. And the second question is, part of the question is, when I get busy and I don't do a good job managing these things, what I guess I'm looking for a plug for you guys as a financial advisor. What are my expenses? What do you guys help me with managing? Do you guys give me direction on where to and where not to invest? And also, kind of a side note to that is, do you also give business tax advice just for starting businesses? And I'll take my answers off the air. Thanks for your
Thank you for calling.
All right, well, a number of financial advisors do work with businesses on taxes. It would depend on whether you're a sole proprietor, a sub-S corporation, or a regular corporation, or an LLC. You know, tax strategies for each of those are different. The idea of consolidating your similar tax-deferred accounts is very, very good, because it's almost impossible for an individual to sit down and look at, for instance, T. Rowe Price's menu and Vanguard's menu and decide which and where to put it. It's much easier if you have one central place where you can look at all your assets. I would suggest that you make the decision based on where the lowest costs are. You mentioned Vanguard. They're one of the few people that have a really white hat on Wall Street. T. Rowe Price is also an excellent organization, but consolidating them will allow you to manage it a lot easier, and that's a huge benefit. Or you could go online probably and get a consolidated statement of all of them together, but that's an added layer of complexity. And the simple solution would be to move it all to Vanguard, say. Although I don't want to say anything bad about T. Rowe Price. They're a very good firm.
All right. There we go. Good advice.
Larry, did I miss any part of that question?
I don't think so.
Because he had about 3 points there.
I thought we had it up. Well, we'll allow him to call back if we missed something, and turn to Mike and Stephen's Point next. Hi, Mike.
Hey,
well, I think you wanted to know about what we do, what advisors do.
Oh, that's right. Yes.
Well, in our firm, it would depend on the size of the account. For people who have smaller accounts and less complicated situations, we can develop a rather simple management plan. For rather large accounts where there are a number of different tax questions coming up, and estate planning issues, et cetera, we can do a very comprehensive financial plan, and we tailor it to really the needs of the client. If you're starting out, you're 25 years old, and you've got your basic wills done, then you probably don't need a lot of high-powered legal help to set up those things, and you don't need our help to do that. Once we suggest that you get to an attorney and get it done. On the other hand, down the road, life gets more complex, and you probably need a lot more professional help.
Yeah.
So, So we would tailor it to your needs and the size of your accounts and the complexity of your situation.
And the person you and who's a certified financial planner, I think, is who you want to visit with.
I think you do, but I think you also want to look at how they get compensated. And a fee-only advisor has reduced to the bare minimum any kind of conflict of interest that you might have, as opposed to a used stock salesman from one of the major brokerage houses.
Yeah.
And, I mean, if you're going to pay for advice, at least pay for impartial advice with full disclosure, and not potentially set yourself up for a situation where you're getting conflicted advice based on how much commission he's going to earn.
Yeah. Well, now, Mike and Stevens Point, thank you for waiting. Hello.
Thank you. Great program. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
You mentioned that if you're in retirement, you're income is going to increase. Roth is the perfect one. If it's going to go down, then the standard or the regular is. I'm 57-year-old male, retired in the Wisconsin retirement system. I anticipate that I'm always going to been retired 2 years, going to always be in the 25% tax bracket. I'm fortunate I get to work for a friend just enough. He has a business just enough to have the amount that you need that you can have for earned income to put into the IRA. But I'm squarely in the 25%. I'm in the dilemma. Should I do a Roth or should I do a regular?
Hmm.
Depends on what you're going to be after you're fully retired.
He has both now. You have both now. Okay.
If your tax bracket's going to be level between now and then it really doesn't matter. It only matters if your tax bracket's going to be substantially different than it is today. Higher tax bracket later, like you said, the Roth looks good. Lower tax bracket later, then the regular looks better. If they're equal, then it's equal. Doesn't matter.
Ah.
All right.
There you go, Mike.
But having the choice allows you to leverage the system a little bit and make a better tax outcome for you. So you know, it's wise that you're considering it, but you need to have a pretty firm idea what your relative brackets are going to be down the road.
Thank you much.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling. Appreciate your call. And here we are getting close to the end of the road here, Frank. Are there just sort of some final tips in the last couple minutes we've got here that or comments for people about saving for retirement and while paying for college?
Well, the combination of the Roth IRA is a great way to meet multiple objectives. If you use it intelligently. Otherwise, start as early as you can. Keep your costs as low as you can. Diversify widely, and don't pay for excess fees for management that you of the accounts that you don't need.
And you mentioned, and you're not financially connected with Vanguard at all, but it's just a company that you really like.
That's right. They're a great consumer company. They're owned by the policyholders. Their fees are rock bottom low. We use Vanguard products for our clients, and we also use other firms. But for a retail investor who's looking for a good, honest solution to their investment program, I would start with Vanguard.
And I wanted to also mention your website because you have a lot of really useful information on that website.
Yes, it's investorsolutions.com. We've tried to provide financial planning information for years and years. There's a substantial library of stuff there that could be useful.
Yeah. Frank, it's always a great pleasure. Thank you so much for taking time to be with us today. I really appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate it, and I want to wish you guys the best in the Final Four. It's a huge accomplishment, and I'm sure that all of you are just as proud as you can be.
Are you a Duke fan, or are you a...
Well, I was University of Virginia, and Duke beat us consistently at almost everything we did while I was there. So, you know, it's a great institution, but I can't tell you that I live and die on whether I would prefer you guys to be honest with you.
Well, good. I appreciate that, Frank. Thank you so much.
Duke was always just kind of a sworn enemy on the battlefield. We never cross swords with Wisconsin too much, so I'll be pulling for you.
Well, I see the Texas is after your basketball coach at Virginia, so you better watch out.
Yeah, we did pretty well there this year too.
All right, thanks, Frank. Thanks a lot for calling, Frank Armstrong, our guest today. Always great to have him along, and it was kind of fun to talk with him a little bit about the Final Four, and I can tell you what I would want to be doing this weekend. If I was retired, I'd be following the Badgers to the Final Four. Coming up next, a guy who's not retired, but he did follow the Badgers to the Final Four, UW Varsity Band Director Mike LaCrone joins us from the road. He and the band are traveling with the UW Badgers men basketball team. It's going to be really a fun show. Talking about maybe a little about the Final Four, but also about the upcoming band concert. Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.